What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Wisdom with the Willises. Let's go! Listen, let me start off by apologizing to you. I know it has been, I think, at least 3 weeks since you have gotten an episode. Listen, it's been crazy. It's been wild. As many of you know, Brenna and I are preparing for our second baby to enter the world. Brenna, at this point, is, I believe, 36 weeks pregnant. And so it's getting real. Things are happening, and they're happening quickly. And you know, if your mom's out there or you know anything about pregnancy, there is this nesting thing that happens with women. And they nest. They prepare the house. They get everything ready because they're excited and want to make sure everything is perfect for the new baby before they arrive. And so that's what we've been up to, and we've been busy, and she's been tired. And I usually like to have her on the podcast. I mean, it is our podcast, right? So I like to have her on the podcast, and if she's tired, I'm not going to push her to do that. Y'all know how it goes. She comes before this. But I also think about you guys too. And so if I have a moment to share something with you, I want to do that. But I do want to apologize because we were putting episodes left and right, and I know that some of you guys were even expecting them. So our sincerest apologies to you. Life is life. And then I will say this too, just to give you some information up front. We're probably going to put out maybe 8 episodes and call that season 1 because of the new baby. We don't know how we're going to be able to make time for this, at least in the first few weeks and months. And so my goal is to do at least 2 more episodes, this one being one of them. And my hope is that we'll be able to get you guys one more episode with Brenna on the show too before baby gets here. But we'll see. Lord willing, that'll happen. But if not, we know that y'all understand. So with that being said, I'm not going to make this one super long, but this is something that has been on my heart for quite a bit of time, I would say. Just things that I've noticed in culture and relationships that I have, and ultimately, you know, something that I feel like can apply to everyone at some point in their lives. So if you listen to this and you're like, I don't know if this is going to really apply or if this applies to me right now, I guarantee you it will at some point. So put this in your back pocket and take notes, save it. All the good things, because I think it's going to be helpful to you at some point in your life. Let me say this too. I'm getting all the stuff out of the way first. If this show blesses you, like, subscribe, share. You know the drill, baby. We need your support. We appreciate you. And shout out to number 50. Whoever you are, we just made it to 50 subscribers on YouTube. That's huge for us because we weren't expecting to have any subscribers. So 50 subscribers on YouTube. We are so grateful and excited for the future and your support. So thank you for that. Listen, let's get into it. I know y'all are tired of the pleasantries. So I'm about to get right into this thing, baby. I want to title this episode, You're Not Crazy. You are not crazy. Okay. And I really want to piggyback this episode off of not our latest episode with LA, but the episode before that, where Brenna and I were talking about navigating conflict resolution, right? This is kind of going to be a piggyback off of that. Let me start off by saying this. I think when anybody enters a relationship of any kind, whether it be romantic, friendship, business relationship, you name it, I believe that most people's goal is for that relationship to be healthy, for that relationship to be helpful, and for that relationship to really embody unity, you know, whatever that may look like, being on the same page, being of one mind, one heart. And because we're human, because we come to these relationships with different inclinations, different wants, different needs, sometimes different leanings, whatever you want to call it, there's naturally going to be maybe some tension and conflict at some point in the journey of growing that relationship. But what I really want to focus on in this episode is more so the initial parts of the beginning of a relationship, right? when you're getting to know an individual, right, and you're still trying to kind of figure out the type of relationship that you and said person are entering into. And I titled this, You're Not Crazy, because this is something that I have been through personally, but I've seen so many other people deal with, specifically in the church and Christian community. And it's this idea of, for lack of better words, kind of gaslighting yourself, right? And I may dive into that a little bit later. But sometimes when we enter into relationships, I believe that God will show us things about an individual. And I think vice versa, you know, someone could see things about us. And as you're collecting this information and you're sorting through this data of like, am I going to mesh well with this person, you know, or are we going to connect, or, you know, what's our chemistry like? I think that there are things that can be red flags. There are things that can be yellow flags. And then there are things that you just love about a person, right? And so let me break this down just a little bit here. I think that red flags are things, and this is just my personal experience and my personal opinion, but I think that red flags are things that our body naturally has a reaction to, whether that reaction is manifested physically to where you can kind of see it on somebody's face and they give you that little stank eye or whatever, or if it happens, you know, on the inside where you start having heart palpitations and you get nervous or you start to tense up. I think that red flags are things that the body hears or sees that rings off that caution alarm. Right. And even sometimes danger, like this could potentially turn into something that's going to put you in danger, either physically or emotionally, sometimes even spiritually. Right. And so I think red flags can, I mean, there's so many different things and they could be different for different people. But I think red flags are things that we know in our heart of hearts that are like no-goes. They're like, hold on, stop. Let's wait a minute. Because if I don't pay attention to this thing that I'm seeing, it could create some damage in the future. Now, yellow lights or yellow flags, if you will, I think are cautionary things. It might be just slight differences in opinion. It could be, you know, maybe she likes, you know, avocados, and you're like, nah, avocados really aren't it. Now, some people, that might be a red flag. It used to be a red flag for me, but, you know, I've grown up and I've been able to kind of, you know, grow in that area. But yellow flags, I feel like, are things that people maybe have slight differences about. Nothing detrimental, nothing that's really going to cause major conflict in the future, right? And then green flags, again, are things that you love. With all of that, there comes this point where we gather information about an individual and these flags are constantly going off. Our brain is processing. We're enjoying ourselves, or maybe we're not. We're trying to, you know, maybe put our best foot forward. And so we're trying to, you know, share the best parts of ourselves with a person. But at the same time, you're gathering information and there's things that you're learning about an individual. And what I really want to focus on is those red flags mainly. I was in a situation one time, and this situation was relating around church, right? And I was getting into a community of believers. And I was excited. I knew that community was something that I needed to be in. And I was searching for it even. And I was in this group of individuals that was led by a pastor. And I'm gonna just give some detail here as much as I feel is necessary to explain this topic in depth. But I was in this situation, and we will call it a discipling situation. And so this pastor took me and a number of different young men and discipled us and basically was teaching us scripture and teaching us, you know, the things of God, helping us understand and navigate what we felt was the call on our lives. And so with that, if you look throughout scripture, a huge part of discipleship was simply just doing life together. So it's not just the reading of scripture and all of those things, but you're going out to eat and you're going to football games and you're celebrating holidays together. And there's so many things that entail or you know, are part of this discipling experience. And so through that, you really get to know people and you get to know their likes. You get to know their habits to an extent, and you get to kind of see more about these individuals that you're doing life with. And specifically in this situation, the pastor that I was in this relationship with, this discipling relationship with, there were some things that were just a little off to me. But I was also trying to open my mind up, if you will, to just things that are different. You know, I grew up a little bit differently as far as church is concerned. And so I was stepping into a place that was totally different. At the core, the beliefs and everything were the same, but the way that they played out on a, you know, through service or whatever was different. And so I was trying not to be judgmental. I was trying to be open and learn a different style than I was used to. But at the same time, I was learning about the lifestyle that, you know, a pastor that was not my dad lived. You know, my dad's a pastor, so I got to see how he lived and all of that. And so I was able to see someone else from an outside perspective live their life. And there were just little red flags here and there that I started to see. But because of my desire to stay in relationship and because of my desire to stay unified, I almost gaslit myself, right? So I told myself that what I was seeing, I wasn't actually seeing. But the truth of the matter is, I was seeing things because God was allowing me to see them. Excuse me. And I would constantly find myself finding reasons to not see what God was allowing me to see. And it would get to the point where these things just kept happening, and I would keep seeing more things, and yellow flags turned into red flags, and conversations like turned into me really backed into a corner with what I'm going to believe. Am I going to believe, you know, the truth that's in my face right now, or am I going to spiritualize you know, a reason to overlook what I'm seeing? I hope you're following me here, because this happens all the time in relationships. Sometimes we can want to be in a relationship so badly that we will ignore things that God is allowing us to see so that we can make healthy decisions on how involved we're going to be or if we need to end a relationship. But a lot of times we will find ourselves staying in relationships, staying in situations way longer than God has intended us to, out of a fear, I believe, of believing what's true and believing what's right in front of you. Now, I said that the title of this episode is You're Not Crazy, because a lot of times, if we see something and we start to notice something and we look around and it seems like nobody else is seeing what we're seeing, we can start to feel like we're crazy. Like, am I the only one seeing this? I know I'm not the only one that has felt this thought, right? Like, you're sitting somewhere and you're looking at something happen. You're looking at something play out. And you look around and like it seems like nobody's faced, like nobody is flinching, nobody's kind of side-eyeing, nobody's questioning anything. And you find yourself in a place where you start to think, well, am I crazy? Am I the only one seeing this thing? And I'm here to tell you today, you are not crazy. You are not crazy. Hey, actually, I want you to say that right now. I am not crazy, because what God is allowing you to see is a lot of times for your perfection, for your protection, And a lot of times it is information, not for you to judge a person, but so that you know how to move in wisdom as far as your dealings are with these people. Okay. I think that, again, so many people have this desire for unity. And I know there's tons of people out there who do not like conflict, especially in the body of Christ, and people who, I would say, mostly are recently saved. There can be this intoxication with unity, and I would even call it a false unity, because if you're not actually unified in spirit, then you're not actually unified. You're just hanging out, you know? And so there can be such a strong desire to not shake things up or to not be going against the grain that we gaslight ourselves into not believing what God is allowing us to see in an individual. I have to preface this because I know there's somebody out there that's like, oh, that's so judgmental, or what is it that people say? You don't want to be, you know, just constantly looking for something, I say this because sometimes it's not that you're looking for something. Sometimes stuff is just right in your face and we just don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe the truth. But the truth is what really brings unity. The truth is what really brings strong relationships and helps people to stay together and to be rooted in something that's going to last throughout and despite life's storms. Okay. So with that being said, I want to read some scripture here because scripture has an answer for everything. And specifically in the Christian space, it can be hard to explain just simple wisdom that, you know, if you don't have a scripture sometimes for some people, then they're just going to be like, nah, I'm just not really rocking with what you're saying. So I want to give scripture because there is in scripture a book of wisdom that gives practical advice and even speaks to situations like I'm talking about. These are not my words. This is scripture. This is the word of God. Okay. Now I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 26. Okay. Proverbs chapter 26. I'm going to read verses 23 through 26. It says, smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. People may cover their hatred with pleasant words, but they're deceiving you. They pretend to be kind, but don't believe them. Their hearts are full of many evils. While their hatred may be concealed by trickery, their wrongdoing will be exposed in public. Those are not my words. That's just scripture, right? Giving you practical insight into the realities of the human experience. This does not mean that everybody's going to be like this. It doesn't mean that you have to look over your shoulder. But I do believe that this scripture is giving us practical wisdom for when God is showing us things in individuals that, again, can be red flags, yellow flags, whatever you want to call it. There are times where people do not have your best interests or do not have the best interest of the people that you're involved with. And that is just life. It's going to happen. Scripture also says that there are people who disguise themselves as sheep, but are really wolves in sheep's clothing that want to devour people that are vulnerable and people that are really trusting and somewhat naive. The Bible even says that the enemy, the devil, Satan, disguises himself as an enemy or as an angel of light. It says that the enemy disguises himself as an angel of light. Why? Why does that happen? Why does he disguise himself? Why should he have to disguise himself? Because if he came straight up with, like, you know, horns and just this devilish look, then of course people are going to run. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, it's the devil. Let me get out of here. and he wouldn't be able to do what he does best, and that's deceive people. The scripture says this. Look, people may cover their hatred with pleasant words, but they're deceiving you. Now, this does not mean that people who have these red flags are just these terrible people all the time. It doesn't mean that these people are just all bad. But what it does mean is that it may not be good for you right now. And they may not be good for you ever. It just depends on the situation. And you have to navigate what you're seeing in front of you. That's what I really want to get across. And I'm so grieved by people who make the same mistakes that I've made. And you try to, church language, they say, think the highest thought. And you completely negate the thing that you're seeing in front of you. Like, I can think, hey, yeah, this person has the potential to be a really, you know, great guy or awesome woman or whatever. But right now I see them stealing from the convenience store. And I cannot turn off what I'm seeing and just be like, you know what, they're going to be a wonderful person in the future. They have so much potential. But right now they're stealing. And you cannot ignore that, or you're going to end up in a place where you're dealing with issues that I don't believe you were ever intended to deal with because of that refusal to just acknowledge the truth and move accordingly, if that makes sense. So going back to this story with this pastor and this discipling relationship, I kept seeing things, and it got to the point where I had an interaction with him, and he really proved to be basically operating like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, it wasn't all bad. There were some good things that I learned from him during that time. But in the grand scheme of things, this individual was living a double life. He was in a relationship that was contrary to what we believe is right for a pastor and for a believer. Or for anyone, really. And so he was basically living a life that he was not, he was preaching something that he was not living. And so the truth ended up coming out. Let me read this verse again. It says, while their hatred may be concealed by trickery, their wrongdoing will be exposed in public. And the truth is, that actually happened. And there was a time. This actually happened to me on two separate occasions, but there was a time where I chose to acknowledge the truth about what I was seeing, and people looked at me like I was crazy. People called me divisive. People called me bitter. People said that I was angry, that I was jealous. There were so many things that were said about me just because I chose to acknowledge what it was that I was seeing. And then I even had a word from the Lord. The Lord confirmed to me what I was seeing, and I chose to believe what I was seeing, and I chose to believe what I felt God was telling me to. And that caused me to kind of walk alone for a little while until that exposure came out eventually. And the scripture that I just read to you was manifested. It actually happened. There was somebody who was operating like that. Two individuals, same situation. And in the first situation, I kind of denied it for a little while. But in the second situation, the moment I started to see yellow and red flags, I started to position myself accordingly. And the mistake that I made was trying to get a lot of other people to get on board with me. Because there was that fear of if I stood by myself, then people would think I was crazy. The truth is, they thought I was crazy anyway. And some may even still think I'm crazy. I don't think so, because the truth came out. But that does happen. And I just really felt convicted to share this with somebody who, again, may have gone through this already. Somebody may be in it right now, or you may go through it in the future. I just want to tell you, you're not crazy. You are not crazy. Some of y'all out there, you are crazy. Some, but just kidding. But for the most part, if you are seeing something and you really feel like the Lord is the one allowing you to see this, more than likely, you're not crazy. You just have to take the courage to not betray yourself, you know, and sometimes it takes courage to stand by yourself for the truth and what you see at times, even if it looks like you are working against what people would call unity. But again, I say, if you are not, if you betray yourself, you gaslight yourself and you pretend that you aren't seeing what you're seeing, then you just trade outward peace. You just trade inward peace for a false outward peace, is what I'll say. For things to appear like they're unified on the outside, you sacrifice peace and clarity inwardly. And that, excuse me, will take an emotional toll on you. Take it from me. Do not do it to yourself. Find somebody that will listen to you. I'm kind of getting into the words of wisdom at this point. But yeah, we'll say this is words of wisdom. Find somebody. There's got to be somebody out there, even if you have to pay somebody, who will just listen to you. Hopefully y'all have got good friends out there who will listen to you and just allow you to explain how you feel, allow you to explain some of the things that you're seeing and maybe that you're even wrestling with. But find those people and know that you need and you are worth being listened to. You're worth being listened to. And then secondly, don't betray yourself. Don't betray what you're feeling on the inside. Everything that God has wired us to be able to navigate life, not only physically, as far as like being aware of danger and stuff, but emotionally and spiritually too. There are things that God has given us and put inside of us as warning signs and signals so that we know how to move and so that we know how to basically guard our hearts, which scripture tells us to do, because it says Proverbs, but there is a scripture out there. Read the whole Bible. You'll find it. There's a scripture that says, guard your hearts, for the issues of life flow from there. So there are things that God has wired us to be able to do so that we can guard our hearts. That's just our mind, our will, our emotions, our memories, right? So all that to say, don't betray yourself. Listen to your body, pay attention, and pray. Of course, God is going to speak to your heart. That's what God speaks to. And he'll tell you, he'll confirm what you're seeing, to make sure and to confirm that you're not crazy. And then the last thing I'll leave with you is this. Don't be afraid to stand alone for the truth. Now, this may be, you know, this may be extreme for some people in like maybe a platonic situation, or, you know, you're just trying to get to know somebody. You're like, oh, red flag, I'm out of here. But if you find yourself in a situation, maybe it's a work situation or, you know, a family dynamic or whatever, and it's something that would potentially shake things up if you were to stand on and you were to be honest about or whatever, don't be afraid to stand alone. Because a lot of times it takes people a little while to get on board because of the fear of the truth. The truth shakes things up sometimes. The truth is not comfortable sometimes. And because of that, people avoid it and people don't want to believe it and people alter it. And they try to do things to prevent it from coming out. But do not be afraid to stand alone. Everything in you will thank you later on. Your courage and your boldness will increase if you do not betray yourself in these moments. Because there are people out there who are worth all of you. You know what I'm saying? Worth having, you know, all of you, not the reserved you and all of that stuff. And there are people who are going to treat you right. They're going to be people who love you well. And they're going to be people who are genuine and want truly what's best for you. But sometimes the enemy's going to throw those people in there to try and derail you, distract you, you know, all these other things. You got to really think about it. And I'm going to wrap up because I know I'm kind of rambling here. If there is a call on your life that is so strong that you need other people to fulfill it, then you can bet your bottom dollar that the enemy is going to try to send the wrong people to prevent you from fulfilling that calling too. Just think about that. If a person or people are necessary for you to get to where you're going, then people are probably going to be what the enemy sends to prevent you from getting there. So think about that. And lastly, I'm wrapping this up. This isn't a point. But just remember, in these situations, if you're feeling this in your heart, understand and know that you are not crazy. I hope this is healing for you. I hope this is something that you think about. And I hope that is something that people can take and actually apply to their lives. I hope this is one that you save and that you go back to if you start feeling like you're crazy. Hear my voice. You are not crazy. God will give you strategy on how to navigate those situations when you find yourself in them. But one of the first steps, I believe, to healing and to moving forward truly is coming into the agreement or coming into agreement with the statement, I'm not crazy. So I want to pray for you before I let you go, and we'll wrap this up. Dear Lord, thank you so much for another podcast episode. Thank you for each and every listener that's tuned in. Thank you, God, for your wisdom. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your protection, God. Thank you for even your heart for unity, Lord. We know that in your heart of hearts, you desire for us as believers to be unified. It is your heart for us to be unified, Lord. And sometimes we understand that you have to move other things out of the way so that true unity can happen. And we just thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom on how to navigate those things. You give us wisdom on what we should do, how we should do it. And Lord, we just ask you for the courage and the boldness to believe what you show us and to take seriously what you show us. And to lean on you, even when it may feel like we're losing something of value, help us to truly lean on you, knowing that if you're showing us something or you're pulling us away from something or towards something else, it is all for your purposes, which is ultimately for our good. So I ask that you would bless each and every person that's listening and takes this time out of their day to hear this, Lord. May the wisdom shared in this episode be seed planted in ready and willing hearts that will produce a harvest, Lord Jesus, of righteousness and right living. So, Lord, I thank you so much again for who you are. May you be glorified through this episode and everything that comes from it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Brenna sends her blessings too, and Isaiah and Rhema as well. If we don't hear from you guys until after the baby, y'all be praying for us. We really need the prayers because they say the jump from one to two kids is big. And hey, we're just excited anyways. But we love you, and we'll see you next time. Peace.